Good morning. I have chosen 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 for this morning. And it reads as such, and I'll read from the King James. And it says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Now, the Amplified reads a little bit differently, but I was a little taken with the last part of the Amplified version. It says, "Now thanks be to God for his gift, precious beyond telling, his indescribable, inexpressible, free gift." In the Strong's, in the New Testament alone, there's 2,192 references to thanks and thanksgiving. Imagine that. We have no option other than to thank the Creator for what he has done. That free gift, indescribable? Well, let's go to the Scripture. So I discovered as I read back a little bit to see the context in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm going to back up just a little bit here and see a little bit about a cheerful giver, which is starts in verse 10 of chapter 9. And it says, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayers for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you." And then the culmination is verse 15. "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." And that's the New King James. So as I looked, I saw a few things that I'd like to point out this morning. Thanks be to God for his gift. Thanks be to God. So he gives to us that we may give to others, a promise with a challenge to the sower. The principle of the thanksgiving is to observe the law of spiritual giving and spiritual receiving. Last week, as my good friend Mr. Thompson said, that you must receive that gift. You don't purchase a gift and put it in the closet. You give the gift, and if the gift is accepted but then put in their closet, it's not being used. So that gift must be received not only in your hands, but to be used, to be generated into your life. And in verse 12 and 13 of this, it says the receiver is in such a position then to glorify God, the undeserved gift, the free gift, and to be stirred up to prayer. Prayer is where we raise our hands, if you will. I love to raise my hands to the Lord in humility, abject humility, because we have no right to ourselves. We were bought with a price. And so through prayer, we can lift each other up and come alongside one another in prayer and supplication to the Lord. And he hears, we know, because in the Scripture it says that he hears the prayer of the saints. It's like a sweet-smelling aroma that comes up around the throne of God in heaven. A sweet swelling. Better than incense are the prayers of the saints. So in the second point I want to make is the timing of God's indescribable gift. So I will start back in Genesis 22 to establish the timeline. And as Lawrence alluded to last week, Abraham, this is where the timeline for the seed was planted. So if you turn to Genesis 22, I'm going to start in verse 15. This is immediately after that Abraham took Isaac upon the mount and was ready to slay him upon the altar because God had told him, take your son, your only son, and you'd sacrifice him to me. And this is immediately after that the hand of the Lord had stayed Abraham. And he says in verse 15, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. Verse 18. In your seed, singular, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So here is the mention, the first mention that I found of the seed. And by him, because you have heard my voice and obeyed my voice. Now turn a bit to the right and let's look in Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah, the prophet, had much to say about the Messiah. But in chapter 9 is where we're going to start. And starting, we're just going to look at two verses, 6 and 7. I still hear a lot of pages turning. For unto us a child is born, the seed. Unto us a son, capital S, is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name, excuse me, will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And now we'll turn to Isaiah 53, a very familiar verse, actually chapter. And I don't know that I could leave much out of here. And so I will do my best to not run us too long today. I'm very aware of that. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he, capital H, shall grow up before him, capital H, as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. This is the holiness of God revealed to us. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. That's us. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. We're talking about justification this morning in Sunday school, just as if. For he shall bear their iniquities, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. So now New Testament, let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. In due time, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God, aren't those awesome words? But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. Wow, reconciled to God, just as if. So, in Galatians chapter 3, and we could go to Romans 8, Carol, it would be okay, but in order to not take up so much time, Galatians chapter 3. And I'm going to back up here just a little bit into chapter 3. To verse 10. God bless you. Because you're going to see here, there's 9 mentions of the promise in chapter 3 of Galatians. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is anyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet it is confirmed. No one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed, capital S, were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as to one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. Or if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for only one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Wow. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Hallelujah. So there is the last enemy. Can we all agree that death is an enemy? So the last enemy that will be taken away and destroyed is death. To be feared above all. In Romans chapter 5, I'm going to start right there. Verse 12. Therefore, and we already saw what therefore is therefore. We read that earlier. Just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where the sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so, grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh my. So I'm going to put us into just a bit into chapter 6 is all. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? It says, certainly not. And I can just see Paul saying, absolutely not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or how do you know? How do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. What a promise is that? This thing here is going to die. This fleshy thing we're hauling around with us, it's going to die. But let's look in Revelation. So turn to Revelation 20. You Bible scholars will know where we're headed. Look, Revelation chapter 20. And I'm going to read starting in verse 11. This is the great white throne judgment. And then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades were delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. Defeated. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In chapter 21, it says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, hard for me to say, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. And this is the second death. Dead to sin, alive to Christ, through Christ. That is the indescribable gift described the best that I could find in the scriptures. Because in order, when we see the Lord in heaven and become just like him, that song that came out some years ago, I can only imagine. And our imagination is not nearly have the breadth and the width and the height and the depth to imagine anything that God could possibly be. So this gift, this free gift, this indescribable gift, this grace, this mercy that was shed upon men, he sent his son, his only begotten son, to pay that debt that no man could pay, because he had to satisfy the righteousness of God. And no sinner could do that. So, thank you, Lord, 2,192 times. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word.